You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Wednesday, August 26, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for the next 2 hours of live news, interviews, music, comedy, analysis, data, conversation, and more by, for, and about the cannabis community. We're here every weekday, 3 p.m. Pacific time on 420radio.org with replays throughout the day and the hour one available for replays at iTunes, Stitcher, and other podcast aggregators. So stay tuned for that. Great stuff coming up on today's show includes a look behind the headlines at the race for president of the United States, where there are no less than 8 of the 23 presidential candidates who have admitted to smoking pot and fewer than 8 who've admitted they've never smoked pot. Where do the rest stand? We'll find that out in Behind the Headlines right after the 420 Radio News. Also on the show today, we're going to take a look in the drug war data mines at a report from the Bend Bulletin in Central Oregon that is obfuscating the effect of marijuana licensee bans in the eastern and smaller Oregon counties that hate marijuana. We'll get down to the actual facts about how much tax revenue these smaller counties can expect and can expect to lose if they don't embrace marijuana businesses. Also on the show today, we're going to take a look back in the archives in our cannabis community chat. I sat down with Aaron Ross from the Who's the Ross show, a live musical comedy show that appears every Tuesday night here in Portland, Oregon. I appeared there on the Tuesday night before marijuana became legal on July 1st in Oregon, a Wednesday midnight event. So it was just 3 hours before legality had actually happened. You'll hear how I described that to Aaron Ross and the rest of the audience at the Who's the Ross program. Also on the show today, we'll have time for a radical rant where I go off on smoke-free workplaces, particularly bars, lounges, taverns, nightclubs, and not just smoke-free for marijuana, but smoke-free for tobacco. I'm going to explain how we cannabis consumers need to do a better job protecting the rights of tobacco smokers, lest the restrictions on tobacco smokers be used against us to deny our rights. So stay tuned for that in the Radical Rant. Also coming up in Hour 2, our live hour on Toker Talk Radio, we're going to talk about that poll out in the United Kingdom, a survey actually, a petition on the government's website that has kicked the ass of any petition we've run in the United States for marijuana legalization. We've got our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tunes coming up. Gordon Green's going to call in with some new music from Gypsy King. Actually, I don't know if it's new, but a tune from the Gypsy Kings, I should say. And then in the second half hour, we've got more coverage of all the news going down in the world of marijuana legalization. So hang on tight, buckle your seatbelts, load up your bowls, because we got plenty to cover here on the Russ Melville Show. If you've got comments or questions for the Russ Melville Show, you can always call in at 844-207-2346. That's a toll-free line. You can leave emails at radicalruss@gmail.com or join our chat room at 420radio.org with your Facebook account and ask your questions live. We respond to calls and questions in Hour 2, so stay tuned.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your cannabis business 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp.
NewEraCPAs.com. With years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com. Step into the future every Tuesday night with Electric Bob's Boogaloo, our weekly electronic music jam. Electric Bob brings you the latest house, trance, dubstep, and other electronic music from the freshest DJs and producers. It's every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Pacific, with replays weekends at 11 p.m. on 420radio.org.
Hi, I'm Alex Rogers, producer of the fourth Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference, the OMMBC. There have been a lot of recent changes to Oregon cannabis laws. Recreational sales start October 1st, new licensing from the state, and changes to medical marijuana. Are you prepared? Join us at the downtown Portland Hilton September 12th and 13th with the industry's top cannabis business experts, political leaders, exhibitors, and nightly networking events. For more information, join us online or give us a call. The OMMBC. Be part of history.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, August 26, 2015. Ohio Secretary of State John Husted, who has the sole authority to name statewide ballot issues, titled the two marijuana issues in a way that has supporters of legalizing marijuana up in arms. Husted announced Tuesday that State Issue 2's title is Anti-Monopoly Amendment Protects the Initiative Process from Being Used for Personal Economic Benefit, and State Issue 3's title is Grants a Monopoly for the Commercial Production and Sale of Marijuana for Recreational and Medicinal Purposes. Responsible Ohio Executive Director Ian James, who is the mastermind behind Issue 3, is promising to contest the titles, along with ballot summary language approved last week, in the Ohio Supreme Court later this week. In response, a spokesman for Husted said, quote, "If the supporters of Issue 3 didn't want Secretary Husted to describe the amendment as a monopoly, perhaps they shouldn't have proposed a constitutional amendment that creates a monopoly," end quote. Colorado's Marijuana Enforcement Division is considering rules changes at public hearings on Monday, August 31st. Among the considerations, labeling of all marijuana edibles with a red stop sign containing the letters THC, requiring pot business employees to log more of their actions, allowing recreational marijuana testing facilities with proper certification to receive and test samples of industrial hemp from state-registered hemp farmers, although unregistered cultivators and home growers are still out of luck, increasing the potency variance on cannabinoid products to plus or minus 15%, strictly limiting the transfer of plants between retail facilities, and tracking the number of times that a non-consumer visits a marijuana business would be monitored in an attempt to flush out non-licensed employees from working under the table a few days out of the week. Oregon Liquor Control Commission Director Stephen Marks, in a public lunch in Astoria, said that it has been, quote, "all marijuana all the time," end quote, for the agency hurrying to set regulations for the deadline of January 4th, when it must by law begin to accept applications for the retail marijuana industry. Marks claims that of the 2.9 million Oregonians over the age of 21, roughly 20%, or over 580,000 adults, have reported using marijuana within the last year. Of those users, about 30%, over 71,000 medical patients and over 100,000 super users, account for 70% of marijuana consumption in the state. That leaves about 70% of users, probably recreational users, Mark said, responsible for the remaining 30% of consumption. On the policy side, the agency needs to finalize the rules for licensing marijuana businesses and tracking the product from grower to market. State officials are weighing a question that could drastically expand Minnesota's medical marijuana program and offer hope of relief to thousands of residents. Should it allow people with intractable pain to buy the new drug? With its program launched just this summer, the state is seeking public input on the expansion in a series of community meetings statewide, starting in Rochester on Wednesday. The final decision is subject to some of the same political pressures and unease that shaped Minnesota's new law into one of the most restrictive programs in the United States.
The decision ultimately lies with Department of Health Commissioner Ed Ellinger, who assembled an advisory group of medical professionals to weigh the addition with the goal of forwarding him a recommendation by the end of the year. The patients being considered must have pain for, quote, no relief or must have pain for which, quote, no relief or cure of the cause of the pain is possible, end quote, though the state could expand or tighten those standards. Marijuana doesn't appear to shrink important regions of the brains of users, but a study published Wednesday shows something possibly more subtle and important. The brains of people who tend to use marijuana may be smaller to start with. A second study found that marijuana appears to change the brain structure of young men with a high genetic risk of schizophrenia. The studies, both published in the Journal of the American Medical Association's JAMA Psychiatry, don't paint a clear picture of anything, says Dr. David Goldman of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. When researchers looked at 482 volunteers, it did seem that the marijuana users had some shrinkage in two brain regions called the amygdala and the right ventral striatum. But when they compared marijuana users to their siblings, the differences disappeared, so it's possible that people who choose to use marijuana may already have the smaller regions. This has been your 420 Radio News for Wednesday, August 26, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. Midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal. Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. Welcome back. Today in Behind the Headlines, we're taking a look at the race for president in 2016 here in the United States. And the Marijuana Policy Project has just released its annual list of the top 50 most influential marijuana consumers. Now, this is patterned after Out Magazine's Power 50 of LGBT Americans, the criteria being the power to influence cultural and social attitudes, political clout, individual wealth, and a person's media profile. To qualify for the list, the people must be alive U.S. citizens who have consumed marijuana at least once in their life, according to either their own account or that of a legitimate source. They do not need to currently consume marijuana or support marijuana policy reform. Now, topping the list for 2015, once again, is President Barack Obama, who said, quote, "When I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point." But coming in at number two as a group are the 2016 presidential hopefuls, of which Marijuana Policy Project writes, "At least 8 of the 23 major party presidential hopefuls have consumed marijuana, and only 6 say they have not." The way they break it down is that Jeb Bush, Lincoln Chafee, Ted Cruz, George Pataki, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Bernie Sanders, and Rick Santorum have all admitted to being marijuana consumers. 6 candidates say they've never used marijuana. That would be Hillary Clinton, Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, Rick Perry, Donald Trump, and Scott Walker. And of the other 9, they haven't said one way or the other and did not respond to inquiries from Marijuana Policy Project. They include Joe Biden, Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, Jim Gilmore, Lindsey Graham, John Kasich, Bobby Jindal, Martin O'Malley, and Jim Webb. Of those consumers, those 8 candidates who admitted they have consumed, former Governor Jeb Bush of Florida on the Republican side said, quote, "I drank alcohol and I smoked marijuana when I was at Andover. It was pretty common," end quote. Former Governor Lincoln Chafee of Rhode Island on the Democratic side said, quote, "In 1999, then Warwick Mayor Lincoln D. Chafee won accolades for his honesty in acknowledging he used marijuana and cocaine as a 1970 student at Brown University," end quote. Senator Ted Cruz, Republican of Texas, a spokesperson said, quote, "When Cruz was a teenager, he foolishly experimented with marijuana. It was a mistake, and he's never tried it since." Former Governor George Pataki, the Republican of New York, said, quote, the New York Times said, quote, "Mr. Pataki, in his first campaign for governor, admitted to the use of marijuana in his youth," end quote. Senator Rand Paul, the Republican from Kentucky, said, quote, "Let's just say I wasn't a choir boy when I was in college and that I can recognize that kids make mistakes, and I can say that I made mistakes when I was a kid." And that was in response to a question if he'd ever smoked marijuana. And one of his college friends said, quote, "Randy smoked pot," end quote. Senator Marco Rubio, the Republican from Florida, says, quote, "If I tell you that I haven't, you won't believe me. And if I tell you that I did, then kids will look up to me and say, well, I can smoke marijuana because look how he made it. He did all right, so I guess I can do it too," end quote. Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont running for the Democratic nomination, said, quote, "I smoked marijuana twice. Didn't quite work for me. It's not my thing, but it is the thing of a whole lot of people," end quote. And former Senator Rick Santorum, the Republican from Pennsylvania, said, quote, "Well, yeah, I admitted, you know, back when I was running for the Senate that when I was in college that I smoked pot, and that was something that I did when I was in college," end quote. Rounding out the top 5 of the most important marijuana consumers, influential marijuana consumers, include Oprah Winfrey, who said, quote, 1982, I hear it's gotten better," as to whether she when she last consumed marijuana. Bill Clinton said, quote, "When I was in England, I experimented with marijuana a time or two," end quote. That lands him at the number 4 position. And number 5, Secretary of State John Kerry, who answered yes in response to the question, "Which of you are ready to admit having used marijuana in the past?" Now, for those pot users who, or those candidates who are against or who have never used marijuana, the ones most strictly against it would be Chris Christie, who has indicated, quote, "If you're getting high in Colorado today, enjoy it. As of January 2017, I will enforce the federal laws," end quote. We've also heard some anti-legalization pandering from Marco Rubio, the candidate who admits that he has tried marijuana. As for the rest of the candidates who've never tried it or have not admitted one way or the other, the default position seems to be among the Republicans that it's a states' rights issue, that they personally don't support marijuana legalization, but they wouldn't interfere with a state that chose to go that route. And on the Democratic side, it seems to be a lot of let's wait and see, let's check all the research coming in from Colorado and Washington, a wait and see attitude. These attitudes from the Republicans and the Democrats are a good thing for those of us in marijuana reform. We're better off having a hands-off approach like what we've seen from President Barack Obama than we would be under a Chris Christie administration where he'd be actively pursuing the shutdown of legal marijuana in the four states that have already approved it. With Iowa and New Hampshire recently coming in with polls of two-thirds of Republicans saying that they want the feds to butt out of state marijuana laws, that does not bode well for the Chris Christie campaign.
You're a loony.
I'm a little bit of a loony. Speaking of loonies, coming up in hour two, we're going to talk about the petition for legalizing marijuana, or shall I say cannabis, in the UK. And wait until you hear how the only issue that's more popular than that in the UK. I got some funny stuff to tell you about that. But when we come back, drug war data mining, going to take a look at marijuana tax revenues in Oregon. Stick around.
The Russ Belville Show, providing dictionaries to drug czars since 2009.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Fridays at 1 p.m. Pacific for Planet Green Trees, podcasting at planetgreentrees.com. The best resource for everything related to Michigan medical marijuana with your host, attorney Michael Comorn. Check our online listings for Planet Green Trees with Michael Comorn from planetgreentrees.com.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Today in the Drug War Data Mines, we take a look at Crook County, Oregon, a small county in central Oregon, and the Bend Bulletin, their newspaper, which reports, with bans, pot tax revenue will be left on the table. Crook County's share would have been minimal for the first year. And I wanted to get into this story because of the way it is kind of subtly obfuscating one of the most important issues about pot tax revenue here in the state of Oregon. Let me read to you the first couple of paragraphs from the story. They say, five Oregon counties and 11 cities have opted to ban marijuana businesses, and by doing so, have been cut off from the state tax revenue that will be collected from recreational pot sales. But sparsely populated cities and counties will not be missing out on much in 2017 when such revenue is doled out to local governments for the first time. Now, as the story goes on, it talks about how $7.4 million in net revenue will be generated in the first period of legal recreational sales. And it points out that the tax dollars from recreational marijuana will be distributed to cities and counties based on population estimates from Portland State University. 10% of the shared revenue is divvied up among counties, 10% among the cities. And then they say local governments that ban marijuana are left out of the equation, creating a bigger piece of the pie for the rest. Crook County would have only gotten 0.6% of the county allocation. That would have translated to about $4,500 in tax revenue during 2017. Here is where this article is misleading. Everything they're telling you about pot tax revenue in Crook County, Oregon, is from July 2017 on. The part they're not mentioning here, and which I think is a very important part of the story, is that the cities and counties voting to ban marijuana licensees do get a cut of the tax revenue. They get a cut of the temporary 25% state tax that will be charged to all adults who shop in medical marijuana dispensaries starting on January 4th, 2016. And these counties and cities that ban marijuana will get a cut of the permanent 17% state tax that goes into effect in adult use stores when they open in mid-2016. It's not until July 2017, 18 months after the state has begun collecting taxes on Western Oregon marijuana consumers, that the mostly Eastern Oregon counties and cities will be cut off from any state marijuana tax revenue. They make no mention, or they hide it very well in this article, that from January 2016 to July 2017, those counties and cities that ban pot licensees will get a cut of the taxes that the places that are licensing pot will generate. And that means mostly Western Oregonians paying taxes, and a share of that will go to Eastern Oregon counties that have banned. Now, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe these counties in Eastern and Central Oregon are getting that trickle of money in for the for all of 2016 and the first half of 2017. And then in July 2017, when that trickle gets cut off, maybe that forces them to realize, wait a minute, we're losing thousands of dollars in tax revenue here. Why don't we go ahead and legalize and allow, why won't you just go ahead and allow the pot businesses? And then not only will they get their chunk of the state tax revenue from pot businesses, they'll also be able to add their own 3% tax on top of that. And it's misleading how this article says, well, Crook County's only going to get $4,500 off of marijuana taxes. What they don't accurately point out here, or they really don't go out of their way to point out, is that with the estimation of $7.4 million in that 6 month period in the second half of 2017, that Crook County's getting $4,500, they do note in the article that in 2018, they're expecting revenue to jump to $28.8 million, and in 2019, they're expecting $30.4 million. So carrying over the percentages, that shows that Crook County in the next full year, not just 6 months where they get $4,500, but in the next full year, 2018, Crook County would receive about $17,500 in tax revenue from marijuana. That's about what Crook County has budgeted for veterans' personal services. So an amount of tax revenue equal to that which we budget for the veterans in Crook County would be left on the table if they maintain their bans in 2018. And in 2019, that number could jump to as high as $20,000. And this is year after year after year that just this one small Oregon county would be turning away. And the real question here is not how much tax revenue it might generate, but rather, why does Crook County want to guarantee any potential tax revenues, either travel west to the legal pot shops on the other side of the Cascades, or stay in the hands of the illegal weed dealers already operating in Crook County? Let's hope that that small trickle of 18 months worth of tax revenue will convince some of these city and county leaders to rethink the idea of banning marijuana commerce in their county or city, because really, folks, no ban stops marijuana commerce. It only stops tax revenues from flowing to the city or the county. All right, folks, stay tuned. We've got some archive audio for you coming up from June 30th, I should say, almost 2 months ago. Hard to believe we're 2 months into marijuana legalization here in Oregon, but almost 2 months ago, on the eve of marijuana legalization, I appeared on the Who's the Ross comedy program live at Dante's in Portland, downtown. Just a block away from Voodoo Donuts, as a matter of fact. That audio is coming up next, followed by the anti-drug PSA of the day and my rant
on smoke-free bars. I'm against them.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
The cannabis community is a diverse set of people from all walks of life, conservative and liberal, black and white, straight and gay, rich and poor, and everyone in between. Learn more about the people we are freeing from adult marijuana prohibition in our Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, let's hear from all of our contestants on tonight's Hot Fizzle Pop Contest. That was fantastic. That's American, my friends. All right, we got a great guest here. We want to talk weed, ladies and gentlemen. You guys want to talk weed?
Yeah!
All right, then let's bring him up to stage. I could not be more excited to have this gentleman here with us again. As I said before, he writes for High Times Magazine. He's also got his own radio show, The Radical Rush Show on 420 Radio. He's doing the Burnside Burn. He's gonna tow up first, or whatever he's gonna do across the Burnside Bridge right over there with the Portland Oregon sign. Let's just find out what the hell he's gonna do. It's here for Weed and Radical Russ Belville. Russ, come on, everybody. For being here, this is a big day. How long have you been campaigning to make marijuana legal in Oregon?
10 years in Oregon, and I've been consuming for 25.
10 years working on our rights to legally smoke marijuana.
That's right. We are now 57 minutes left in marijuana prohibition in Oregon.
We need a clock that counts down to 420. That would be perfect. We'll think of that next time it's legal. So now this has been a prohibition. Explain to the people, where did this come from, this whole marijuana's bad and illegal? What the fuck? Right? What the fuck?
What the fuck?
What the fuck, man?
It basically came around in the early 20th century after the Mexican War of Independence. And
so are you blaming Mexicans? Because that's an American thing to do.
And America spreading westward, and a lot of it was the fear of, they're coming to take our jobs!
Yeah.
And so they demonized the Mexicans who using were cannabis users, and also it was the African-American musicians in the New Orleans Delta, and later on as the blues, you know, made its way through America, blues and jazz was associated with marijuana smokers, and so to demonize African-Americans, marijuana was also made illegal. It's really based on racism.
It's racist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, all of these white people, you know, we don't believe in racism, right, white people?
No!
Uh-oh. There's not a lot of white people that made noise, or we're very diverse now in who's the world. In Portland, Oregon. All right, so here we are today. What does it mean today, though? Because I remember, what was the date? When did we get the vote came in, how long ago, that it was going to become legal? When did that happen?
We passed this in November, and the first important date is July 1st.
Right.
And it becomes legal, and you've got these on your desk right in front of your table. Right in front
you
of
called
your
it a desk.
Desk table.
Very studious thing for a pothead to say.
Everybody
for a bar table.
You can possess an ounce of marijuana in public. You can possess 8 ounces of marijuana at your home. You can possess 16 ounces or a pound of medicated edibles like cookies, candies, brownies. You can possess 72 ounces of medicated liquids like sodas or tinctures. And you can grow 4 cannabis plants in your home. It's all legal as of midnight.
That's a lot of weed! Well, that's good. Now, how does our weed consumption as Oregonians compare around the nation?
Well, according to the National Survey on Drug Use and Health, among adults 21 and over, 1 out of 5 Oregonians consumes at least annually. 1 out of about 10 consumes at least monthly. And there's probably around 50,000 daily cannabis consumers in Oregon.
Hell yeah!
And I bet a lot of those people surveyed were liars, because I bet it's like 95% fucking.
Well, when an anonymous pollster from the federal government calls you and asks you if you're breaking state or federal law, you might have a tendency to shade the truth a bit.
Yes, yes, yes we do. I also run from Trump predators, but that's my own story. So, all right, what are you doing tonight? So, the strike of midnight, you're going to be just a couple blocks up Burnside by the Portland, Oregon sign.
Yes.
Famous white stag sign. What are you doing tonight up there?
We're announcing the end of adult marijuana prohibition, taking a selfie in front of the Portland, Oregon sign, celebrating our newfound legalization. And I
hey, wait, can you smoke out of your selfie stick? Because that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. We kind of invited everybody who had weed to show up at the bridge and share it with other adults. Now, folks like myself, we can only carry an ounce, so that's all I've got on me. But the medical marijuana patients can still carry a pound and a half. And I know there's at least 6 of them showing up on the bridge with weed to give away.
Are you guys back there with them? Don't yell if you have a pound and a half. People are going to go... Everyone's gonna be your best friend. Who's just carrying a pound? Who's like, hey man, do you know this is how I roll now? Pound and a half. I mean, yeah, I drink whiskey, but I don't like have a wheelbarrow full of like moonshine that I just roll up Burnside and like, that's right, I love to drink. You know, but still, good for you guys. That's insane. And I like how insane that is. So now you're giving away an ounce.
I personally have an ounce to give away.
Who are you going to give it to?
Friendly people.
Oh, Russ, you're going to have a lot of friends. But not as much as the people with a pound and a half. So now this is sort of a trend across the state that people that have a quantity. Now, help me with the terminology. It's not dealer. But many shops, right?
We do have medical marijuana dispensaries.
Right.
The downside of us being legal on July 1st is we have no legal place to buy it. And that's part of why we wanted to give away marijuana.
Wait, what the hell is this? What's that bullshit?
Well, if
you can't buy it yet.
Right, you can't buy it yet, although you could go to...
But you can give it away, though.
You can go to North Gresham and buy it. Up in Vancouver.
Right.
But you'd be breaking federal law the minute you cross the Columbia River.
All right, well, that's fucking so
watch out for the DEA on the Columbia River.
Is that really true? You think the DEA is going to be...
No.
No.
No,
it's
not.
That's insane. So you can give it away now. You can grow it.
Yes.
Hey, you know, we're not narcs here. Just who's holding tonight?
Yeah!
I'm gonna shout out to a couple of my friends back here. This is all fun that we're legalizing marijuana, but a couple of my friends back here got busted for felonies for running legit medical marijuana dispensaries, both in Ontario and in Southern Oregon. And it was just a couple of months later that they legalized the very dispensaries that they got busted for. So people like my good friends back here will no longer have to face that kind of imprisonment, harassment, and upending of their lives.
That's nuts, man. Well, I think I'd like to quote the great crusader for marijuana rights, Nate Dogg, who I believe said, "Weed's legal today."
That's right.
Yes. And, you know, speaking of hip-hop music, I know you got to get out of here because you got to set up over there. But we always have this game on the show that we do called Rapper, Not Rapper. We have rappers on. We had Slim Contray, The Far Side, last week, and we give him 8 rapper names, and he has to pick if it's a rapper or not a rapper. We want to do something similar with you, and we've done this before.
Yes, yes.
We have a game for you called Weed It Out.
Weed It Out.
Where we're going to give you 8 different marijuana strains, and you have to tell me if it's weed or if it's made up.
All right.
What do you think? You want to play? Now, last time you played on the program, you got 7 out of 8, because he's quite knowledgeable. But in fact, it was found that Who's the Ross cheated, and we came up with something called L.A. Confidential, and indeed it was not real, and you told us it wasn't real, and we had to go back and change your score. So you're sitting on 100%. You're batting 1,000. You know what I mean? Like, your weed knowledge is not clouded by the weed itself. You are very quick. So let's give this a try again. See how well you do. Let's make some noise. This is Ross Belleville. It's time to Weed It Out. Here we go. All right, Ross. Number one. Let's weed out. Cat piss.
Cat piss is a very fine, I believe, sativa dominant strain.
Yep.
I don't know shit about it, but apparently with that gross name, it's weed. It's weed. It's weed. All right, let's try this one. Let's see, is it Weed It Out? Is it a weed or not a weed? Weed or not a weed? That sounds stupid.
Yes!
Here we go. This one's entitled, I Am Not a Kush.
No.
I Am Not a Kush.
Yeah, it's a Nixon-themed weed.
If it were a strain, which it's not, it would be a very low-grade ditch weed.
Yeah, and it's not. You're right, it's not. It's not. All right, 2 out of 2. Weed It Out. Chicken pot pie.
No.
I have never heard of chicken pot pie, although I love chicken pot and pie. Both a mathematical constant and the dish.
Yes, we love them all, but you're correct. You weed it out. It wasn't, it's not a marijuana strain. There we go. Number 4, Tony. Weed it out. Booger.
Booger?
Yes.
Booger.
Yes.
Spell that. It's like a spelling
bee. I'll spell it. B-O-O-G-E-R. As in the host said booger instead of booger.
Gotcha.
Because I was just excited about it.
I don't think it's a marijuana strain, but it is a form of extract or shatter.
Where's Mike? Can we accept that? Well, you tell me, because I have people that researched this. They said it's a cross between strawberry cough and Bubba Kush. Did you get it wrong? Does that mean
it? Yes, I got it wrong.
Oh, my God. So you got it. Mike. Magic Mike came up with that one. Stumped you. I feel bad like I messed with you just because I went, booger.
It is difficult because, like, for example, when Charlie Sheen was all the rage, suddenly there was a strain called Charlie Sheen. But it wasn't really a strain. Somebody took something off the shelf that wasn't selling.
Sure.
Called it Charlie Sheen.
Well, you gotta be the, you know, you're the expert. All right, let's get to this next one. You're still 3 out of 4. Drum roll, weed it out. Purple Urkel.
Yes!
Definitely a strain.
Yes!
This woman in the front row. Yeah. That's a mixture of Prince and the nerd from Family Matters.
Yeah.
Purple Urkel. By the way, July 21st, we've got a Prince cover band on the show, Erotic City. with Julian Stefani. Is that, you see a guy who looks like Prince? He gonna be on the show, and I heard he's gonna give me a makeover to boot, so that's gonna be fun. All right, oh, this is a good one. I would smoke this. I can't tell you if it's real or not. Here we go. Number six, weed that, Russ. Dope John Paul II.
No!
And that has multiple meanings here on the program, as yeah. Paul Cigars is a sponsor, and he's over there just loving it. Give us a yeah, John Paul.
That is not a strain, but if it were, it would be really mellow.
I don't know, man. Once in a while, it likes to go.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. That's correct. That's correct. Here we go. We having fun. Okay, here we go. Weed out. Schnazzleberry.
Yes!
Schnazzleberry is a strain.
Goodness gracious! You're an expert! Oh, my God! All right. Get her more weed. Oh, where's the horse tranquilizers?
Yes, Schnazzleberry is a strain.
That's correct. You guys win again. There we go. And finally, weed it out, Russ. Toki the Bear.
No!
Toki
no.
The Bear is not a strain.
I know, we're so fucking obvious, but we're so funny, too. But we got you with one. That's 7 out of 8. That's Russ Bell. Let's get it on. All right. Russ, parting words as you head out there.
Well,
tell the kids what you're going
to
do.
Encourage everyone to check me out weekdays at 3 p.m. on the Russ Belleville Show. We're on 420radio.org. You can pick it up on your smartphone. We got an app for iPhone and for Android. And remember, just because Oregon legalized weed, that doesn't mean the feds did. So be careful in national forests. Crater Lake National Park.
What?
And Indian Casino Land.
What? Wait, national parks? Crater Lake and Indian casinos is where I do all the baddest shit, man. What are you talking
just
about?
Be careful.
I just want to be able to smoke weed in the Pearl District. Yeah. Like, what up, yuppies? You can't even count the cops on me, inch. Yeah. No one's into that, and I'm okay with it. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
May the quest carry on. May you educate us. May people check out 420 Radio.
Right,
ladies and gentlemen, helping you smoke weed every day. Ross Belleville is here for a moment.
44 minutes to freedom.
A good time there on the Who's the Ross program. And of course, our friend Bacon Dan, our Monday, Roots Monday Daily Toker Tunes editor, is the cameraman for the Who's the Ross program. So it's always fun to go down there. You could probably hear him cheering a couple of times during that audio. We'll make another appearance on the show soon. He just had his 600th episode, which for a weekly show, that's a long time. When we come back, we've got the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. Danny Aiello has something to say. And then a radical rant. Even tobacco smoke-free bars are ridiculous abridgments of freedom.
You're tuned into the Russ Belleville Show. The voice of the marijuana nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belleville Show.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belleville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
This is my old neighborhood. I live right over there, 1401 Stebbins Avenue. They call this area Fort Apache, the Bronx. I guess everybody wants to go back to his old neighborhood, pick up on old memories, buddies. We used to hang out in the corner in front of Spector's candy store. My friend Bobby Alvarez lived right across the street. What a ball player. Everybody that saw him play knew he was going to make it big. He didn't. He's dead. He OD'd on drugs. Hi, I'm Danny Aiello. When you're a kid, you're on the street, you got to make your own decisions. I don't care where you live. Sooner or later, somebody's going to offer you drugs. Coke, pot, heroin, crack. You got to say no. My friend Bobby didn't. Long time.
This has been the anti-drug public service announcement of the day. To cure this sort of reefer madness, listen to the Russ Belville Show every weekday on 420radio.org.
420 Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum, elegance and sophistication concentrated.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
In one of my previous rants, I went off about us cannabis consumers being barred from having our own public venues in which to enjoy marijuana and each other's company. In response, one of the commenters on High Times noted, "Like cigarettes, nobody wants to breathe secondhand cannabis smoke. What pothead in their right mind would go to a bar to smoke a joint?" Well, at every bar in America, there are potheads smoking joints. They're just doing it in the alley or in the dark parking lot. Meanwhile, in the covered outdoor patio adjoining the bar, they're drinking and smoking cigars and cigarettes, chatting up other attractive people, and enjoying the sounds of the live music or the sights of the sporting event on television. Why should we be barred from that place? Why should a place allowing cigarettes not allow a joint? I understand the concerns about indoor smoking, but I don't agree with them. Even for tobacco. I think we've gone too far trying to, as Joe Rogan says, nerf the world so that nobody is ever threatened by anything anywhere. Look, I'm someone who grew up with parents working in restaurants and bars in the 1970s and 1980s. This crusade to make them all smoke-free was promoted on the idea that the poor working class people slinging drinks, cooking and delivering food, and playing songs on stage shouldn't be subject to lung hazards while working. But both of my parents smoked cigarettes at the time. How does a smoke-free workplace help their lungs? Meanwhile, in West Virginia, coal miners inhale daily more toxic crap than I ever suffered in 30 years of working and playing in smoky blues bars and country bunkers. So, it's okay for a poor Appalachian man to hurt his lungs to feed his family, but the server in Seattle can't be forced to endure a shift in a smoky bar? But Russ, what's the harm in making her workplace smoke-free? Well, other than demonizing and ostracizing nicotine addicts, I guess nothing. And look, I support the smoke-free restaurants, airplanes, and other public places. I just draw the line at bars serving alcohol, something more likely to immediately harm the consumer's health and much more likely to immediately harm others than cigarettes. There should be some place to publicly accommodate people who choose to use harmful substances, and that should be a bar. Now, part of the reason I think this is because the extent to which we demonize other substance consumers and fail to stand up for their rights is the precedent that can be used against cannabis consumers' rights in the future. First, they came for the trade unionists, but I was not a trade unionist, etc. And already, England has banned smoking in cars if children are present in the car. How long before this doctrine of secondhand smoke is used to punish cannabis consumers in legal states who toke around their own kids in their own home? Which, of course, is the only legal place we've left them to toke, right? I always thought that in America, we should be free to do things so long as they don't harm others, and even free to do things that may harm others so long as we take reasonable precautions. The short track speedway in my old hometown subjected people to plenty of noxious gases and the occasional chance of a flying piece of wrecked car debris, but we're free to drive ridiculous cars fast around in dirt circles in front of bleachers full of potential victims because America! I've also heard from many people who are thrilled about smoke-free bars, for they hated having to inhale secondhand smoke. Many people would also likely prefer not to inhale secondhand marijuana smoke. That's great! America! But it shouldn't be the forced default setting for all bars. If I could wave a magic wand and just make it so, we'd have tobacco licenses like we have liquor licenses. Every jurisdiction would have its own system, like liquor licenses. But basically, it would work like this. You'd have a club, and if you wanted to allow smoking in it, you'd have to get a state tobacco license. There'd only be a certain amount of them per the population of the place, and if a place is too small, maybe no licenses. So the value of these licenses would skyrocket. The requirements for having a tobacco license would include ventilation and air scrubbing standards, and the employees of such establishments would have to have a higher minimum wage, think of it as combat pay or hazardous duty pay, and guaranteed quality health care coverage paid for from the fees from the tobacco licenses. So not every club could afford to have a tobacco license, and not every club would want to have a tobacco license. But the clubs that do would have to mitigate the effects of the secondhand smoke on the establishment, on the patrons, and take better care of their employees' health care. The employees could choose to work at a smoke-free club or get a better-paying job at a smoke-allowed club. Then you just apply this logic to cannabis when it is legalized, and a club could have a liquor license, a tobacco license, and a cannabis license for on-site consumption. Oops, wait. I'm sorry. My bad. Logic. What am I thinking? Logic. This is America. Logic. If there were any logic involved, people would go back and recognize that the studies and the science that supposedly show the deadly danger that secondhand tobacco smoke is are pretty much full of hot air themselves. Numerous studies recently have shown no correlation, no causative effect between exposure, regular exposure to secondhand smoke, and further lung damage or heart disease. The very foundation upon which these bans have promulgated in America is junk science. Furthermore, these smoke-free bans in most of these states are getting extended to the use of vaporizers, e-cigarettes, that do not have that secondhand smoke quality, and are actually a form of harm reduction for a lot of these smokers. The logic that backs up having a smoke-free bar does not back up having a vape-free bar. In fact, sort of argues that it should be a vaporizer-allowed bar. Reject this junk science and understand, cannabis consumers, that whatever they do to the tobacco smokers is something they're going to do to us. And if we don't want to be relegated to having to only smoke outside in the rain, in the cold, if we don't want to be relegated to only being able to smoke in our homes, if we don't want to be punished for happening to smoke around our own children, then we better stand up for those rights for tobacco consumers, and we better start demanding accurate, unbiased science on the issue of secondhand smoke. That's all the time I've got for hour one, but you live listeners, stay tuned for hour two, Toker Talk Radio. We're going to talk about that United Kingdom poll. We got Gordon Green calling in with some Gypsy Kings music and plenty more, plus your calls at 84-420 Radio. For everyone here in beautiful legal Potland, Oregon, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, Tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.